WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The United States war against terrorism will involve the military's special forces. My guest Mark Bowden wrote about the special forces in his bestseller Black Hawk Down, about the day-long battle when U.S. forces landed in Mogadishu, Somalia, in 1993. Bowden wrote about terrorism in his book Killing Pablo, about the hunt for Pablo Escobar and the leaders of Colombia's Medellin cocaine cartel. Bowden also writes for the Philadelphia Inquirer and has been covering how America's military retaliation is likely to begin. We called Bowden earlier today at his home in suburban Philadelphia. Many Americans, in spite of their grief and anger over the attacks of September 11th, are worried that our retaliation will kill many civilians. Bowden thinks our weapons are sophisticated enough to keep damage to a minimum.
I think, for instance, when the United States bombed in Belgrade, to end the Serb aggression in Kosovo, you didn't see much of an outcry over civilian casualties, in part because I think they were minimal. It used to be that, like in World War II, when the United States bombed the Nazi Germany, they would basically fly hundreds of bombers over a city and open the doors at the bottom of these bombers and literally just spew bombs out the bottom and throw them down at the ground. And so in order to sort of knock out a power plant, you might have to drop 2,000 bombs, many of which hit in the near vicinity but nowhere near the target. We're fortunate with the arsenal that we have now of being able to target with great precision what we're going after. Obviously, there's no way to guarantee that there won't be civilians killed when that sort of thing happens, and that's why, you know, taking this step into warfare is not done lightly. But I would hope that any bombing campaign directed at the Taliban or at these terrorist organizations' bases would be aimed with great precision.
But we've been hearing that there's so little in the way of targets in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. The country is so bombed out as a result of the long war with the Soviets and then civil war afterwards. What have you been hearing about possible targets?
Well, I think it is difficult. There are possible targets. The Afghani government, the Taliban, is actually fighting a civil war at the moment. And they have an army and they have an air force. That means that they have bases, they have heavy equipment, they have planes, they have communication centers, not much, but some, and they rely upon them. And I think that even though, you know, we're not dealing with a modern state as we were in Serbia, we can make life very difficult for the Taliban. We could make it difficult for them to fight their civil war. We could make it difficult for them to continue to rule and have a hold over the country. And I do think that there are fairly well-established terrorist bases, although I suspect bin Laden and his crew have long since cleared out of them. So I think that you're right that a bombing campaign in Afghanistan is more limited than the kind of damage that could be done to a modern state. It nevertheless can bring extraordinary pressure to bear on that government and can get people moving, which I think is a situation that helps special forces in going after them.
Your sources in the military tell you this action is going to be fast and brutal. What does that mean?
Well, I think that people who have been arguing about what we're going to do in Afghanistan, I've heard a lot of discussion certainly over the last 2 weeks, seem to be under the misconception that the United States is going to invade Afghanistan and that we could be caught up in a tragic, protracted conflict, much as the Russians were. And I think the difference is that any strikes done by the United States will be, as I said, precisely targeted, will take place over a fairly short period of time. Any introduction of ground troops will probably be these elite units like Delta Force or SEALs who rely on speed and surprise in getting in and getting out as quickly as possible. And so that's the difference that I think that I'm trying to make.
Are the special forces already well-trained for the type of action they'll likely be called on to perform?
They are. They, in fact, you know, have been planning and practicing going after terrorist camps in Afghanistan in particular for several years, and they practice these things continually. That's not to say that they things don't go wrong, and that, you know, even the best trained soldiers dropped in on a on a lightning raid that has a fairly limited goal can't get pinned down, caught up in a brutal fight, captured or killed. This is very dangerous work, but I think that the men that the United States is sending to do these missions are probably the best trained, best equipped in the world.
I imagine you've met a lot of the Special Forces men because you've written about them. I can't help but wonder if they look forward to the right word, if they're anxious to go in and do this. If because they're trained, they want to go ahead and they want to go.
I think they do want to go, and I think that it's a credit to them because these are not kids. When I wrote my book, Black Hawk Down, about the Battle of Mogadishu, one of the things that I tried to capture was the kind of naive enthusiasm for war that some of the U.S. Army Rangers had prior to the big fight that happened on October 3rd, and they got their comeuppance, at least in the fact that they realized what a nightmare war was and that it's not something that anyone should look forward to. The soldiers of Delta Force, the SEALs, these are older, more experienced, more mature men. They're deeply patriotic, extremely committed to what they do. They believe that force is necessary in this world, that if the United States is going to survive and thrive as a nation in this world, we need to be able to employ force effectively. And their belief in that and their belief in themselves, I think, makes them somewhat eager when the situation calls for it to demonstrate what they're capable of.
How do the tactics of the Special Forces compare to the tactics of conventional military?
Well, conventional military relies on strength in numbers and on things like heavy air support, tanks, the whole array of conventional war-making equipment. Special Forces works with very small units. They rely less on strength in numbers and in firepower than on violence of action, speed, and surprise. They're designed to conduct very specific, small-scale kinds of operations, and they're also designed not to occupy territory or to take things over, but to get in, accomplish their mission, and get out. I think that pretty much sums it up.
Have you seen the training of Special Forces?
I have seen them carry out some of the kinds of raids they do. In fact, I wrote about in Black Hawk Down a Delta Force raid on a target house in Mogadishu, and I spent a lot of time and effort trying to imagine, on the basis of the descriptions I was given, what that was like. And I did my best in the book to describe it. When they made the movie of Black Hawk Down, which is currently in production, I was over in Morocco, and the pilots and rangers who carried out that assault, the same units at any rate, reenacted it in the streets of Mogadishu. So I have had the opportunity to actually see it, and it's so much more violent, it's so much more fast, so much more loud and intimidating than anything I had ever imagined.
In what way was it faster and louder than anything you'd imagined?
Well, I was there. I was standing on the street, when the first assault came in. The Little Bird helicopters, they're called AH-6s, literally have the assault forces riding on benches on the outside of these little helicopters. And they just, in a second, appear overhead, land on the street with people scattering, running in all directions. And before you really, it's very, very loud. It's shocking when it happens, even in this case when I knew it was going to happen because it was being done for the movie. But it was just, boom, suddenly they're there. By the time you've kind of reacted just to the noise and to the sudden appearance of them, they are already in the house arresting the people that they're after. And then in come the big helicopters, the Blackhawks, which make a lot of noise and stir up a great storm of wind. And in the midst of this sudden chaos, they're suddenly soldiers on the ground who've roped down from the helicopters. So, I mean, watching it, it makes you appreciate how hard it would be to react in any kind of offensive way against something like that. It would take time. And I think that's the purpose. They've designed these exercises so that they happen so fast and so violently that it takes their enemy at least a few minutes to figure out what to do next. And if they're good enough at it, they're sort of in and out before anyone has a chance to respond.
The movie adaptation of your book, Black Hawk Down, about our military action in Somalia is in production. You know, a lot of Hollywood movies are being put on hold right now because the tone of the movie doesn't seem to fit with the tone of the nation right now. What do you think is going to happen with Black Hawk Down? Do you think that the opposite might happen, that it might be kind of rushed into theaters more quickly because it's about the American military?
I think that there's a possibility that could happen, but I'm also aware, because I've been talking to Jerry Bruckheimer and Ridley Scott, that they are very sensitive to not trying to exploit something as serious and important as what's going on right now. I'm actually flying out to Hollywood tomorrow to see as much of the film as there is to be seen, and I'm sure that, you know, one of the reasons they want me to do that is that they're all trying to figure out, you know, whether the film as it now stands is appropriate to the present situation. I tend to think it will be, and in particular because it depicts precisely the kind of military action that we're likely to engage in here in Afghanistan and other parts of the Middle East as we're going after these terrorist groups. So it remains to be seen. I think we're still trying to figure out exactly how it fits into this sort of remade world.
But the story in Somalia doesn't really end in victory.
It does, in the sense that the soldiers successfully carried out their mission. I mean, they were targeting two lieutenants of Mohammed Farah Aidid that day, and they got them, arrested them, and took them out of the city. Now, obviously, it didn't go smoothly. Things did not go as planned, and there ended up being American soldiers killed and many, many Somalis killed. But in a way, you know, I think that that's a very important message for where we are right now, because ideally we would love to think that these forces are so good at what they do that they're going to be able to carry out these missions without any Americans getting killed or hurt. What Black Hawk Down demonstrates is, to a certain extent, the inevitability of things going wrong and what it looks like when things go wrong. So in that sense, you know, I think it's probably a good cautionary tale for Americans who are really gung-ho and enthusiastic about getting into action.
My guest is Mark Bowden. He writes for the Philadelphia Inquirer and is the author of the bestseller Black Hawk Down. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Mark Bowden. He writes for the Philadelphia Inquirer and has been reporting on our military plans. He's the author of Killing Pablo, about Pablo Escobar, and the author of the bestseller Black Hawk Down. Now, Bin Laden was connected somehow to our action in Somalia. What's the connection?
Well, it's actually a very tenuous connection, Terry, because there's a tendency, I think, particularly in the press, to inflate the diabolical reputation of someone once they've been singled out as a kind of enemy of the United States. And I think that's what's happened with Bin Laden and Somalia. The truth is that there were Somalis who fought in Afghanistan, and some of them maybe fought even with Bin Laden. And when the United States intervened in Somalia in 1992, and certain elements in Mogadishu were opposed to that, those who were allied with Mohammed Farah Aidid, there were, you know, I would presume that these veteran Afghan fighters were probably leaders among those who fought against UN troops and who ended up fighting against the United States. And they no doubt had some experience in shooting at helicopters, having been fighting the Russians for a long time, so they probably loaned their expertise. But when it came right down to it, in the battle of October 3rd, 1993, what shot down the American helicopters was the fact that they were able to throw so many rocket-propelled grenades into the air. It wasn't any particularly clever technique in using those weapons or anything like that. And so I think whatever role was played by those Afghan veterans was more general and, you know, may or may not have been connected with bin Laden. The one place where bin Laden maybe did have an influence is he probably loaned money and he probably had a hand in supplying some of those weapons.
What's gone wrong? What's your understanding of why it's been so difficult for the United States, with all its intelligence, to find out where the terrorists are and root them out?
I think that the intelligence, while it's taking a beating right now and has certainly failed in a number of ways, is better than most people think that it is, that we have in fact known where people like bin Laden have been over the past 5 or 6 years from time to time. What I think is that we have lacked the will to go after these people. There's a very delicate balance in the Middle East, as anybody who's spent any time there understands, between the moderate factions of sort of the moderate leaders and the fundamentalist zealots, who are feared, I think, by the moderates in those states. And even someone like Yasser Arafat tries to maintain a delicate balance in his efforts to create a Palestinian state between, you know, advocating for the interests of his people, but not angering Hamas, the extremists in their midst, because I think that, you know, his regime, the PLO, runs the risk of being toppled or displaced by these extremists. And I think that's the situation in a lot of these countries. So there was an understandable caution, or some would say timidity, on the part of the United States about doing something like going after bin Laden in Afghanistan that might upset that balance and could tip the factor in favor of the extremists. I think the attack on the World Trade Centers and the Pentagon has banished that timidity, for better or for worse.
But it is a real concern.
Certainly it's a concern, and it's, you know, like many conflicts that the United States has entered on in its history, the outcome is uncertain. One scenario that you could easily see is that this military effort by the United States will end up throwing the Middle East into chaos and giving the Islamic extremists an excuse to recruit tens of thousands of supporters who see a holy war between the secular Christian United States, against the Muslim world. And that's, you know, that's a possibility. I think that it's also possible that military action by the United States could embolden the moderate Arab states and the moderate Muslims to crack down on the fundamentalists, whose fundamental disagreement with the Western world is only partly to do with the political grievances that have accumulated over the years and has much to do with just a basic opposition to our way of life.
Mark Bowden, after writing about the U.S. action in Somalia and after writing about the end of the Medellin cartel, what are your thoughts on how President Bush is approaching, to the extent that we know how he's approaching, the war on terrorism?
Well, I'm extremely impressed so far with the way that President Bush has handled this, and not just because his rhetoric has been very effective and powerful, but because more because of the restraint that he's shown. I'm particularly impressed with the way that he has reiterated again and again that this is not going to be easy, that this is not going to be fast, that it will involve casualties. You know, one of the things that made the mission to Somalia a disaster was that the president and the Congress and the administration had done nothing to prepare the American public for the possibility of American casualties. No one had ever explained why this was even significant, why this was an important exercise, so that when we saw dead American soldiers being dragged through the streets of Mogadishu, I think everyone's reaction, in addition to horror, was, why? Why are we even there? You know, why are these lives being lost? In this case, I think the president has done an extremely good job of sort of marshaling public opinion for what could be a very costly and difficult campaign. But I think more important than any of that is I'm impressed with his emphasis on the broad nature of this attack, that it involves more than the military. It involves political, diplomatic, financial assault. I think that, frankly, those last three, the politics, the diplomacy, and the attack on the finances may ultimately prove to be the most important part of this whole exercise. So, I think that this has to be done. I certainly understand the list of political grievances that have created hostility toward the United States and the Middle East, but I do believe that there are these, at the core of this hatred of the United States is a small group of zealots who oppose basically what we stand for as a country, which is a separation of church and state and the modern society that we have. And I think we really are, in a certain sense, being called upon to defend our way of life.
Mark Bowden, thank you so much for talking with us.
You're welcome, Terry. My pleasure.
Mark Bowden writes for the Philadelphia Inquirer. He's the author of the best-selling book Black Hawk Down and of Killing Pablo. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.